Our scripture reading for tonight's lesson is taken from Psalm 90. Psalm number 90 and verse 1. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Thou, Lord, hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Once again, good evening. We are glad that you are here tonight. Hope you have enjoyed your afternoon. It's been a glorious day weather-wise, and an even more glorious day that we get to assemble before God on a second occasion, provide Him, offer Him our worship. Tonight, as we continue to look at the Psalms, we find ourselves at Psalm 90, which is a little different than the rest of them, simply because it's actually attributed to Moses. And the Bible even says he's a man of God, but also as a bit of a structural reference here, this is, if your Bible may have before it, Book IV or Book 4. There are five different books of the Psalms, which is how they originally recorded them, because 150 is a large number to try to keep track of. So they divide them into five smaller books. So we now start the fourth book of Psalms. And this one is number 90. This psalm takes us into the heart of one of the greatest men to ever live. If I were to ask you who was the greatest military leader to ever walk on this face of the earth, you might get names like MacArthur or my favorite, Eisenhower, or you could go down the list. But honestly, the greatest leader was Moses. The greatest leader to ever live. Why? Because he led God's people as they came out of Egypt, and then he sadly led them while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. In fact, in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, there is a stone picture up there, and it has all these great leaders of the world, and they both look to the left and right, and in the middle is Moses. Because they all look back to him because of what he did for the people that was under him. In the Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, and verse 3, the Bible tells us that Moses was a very meek man. In fact, he was more meek than all those which were on the face of the earth. So Moses was a meek man, but yet he was a great leader. And we need to keep in mind that meekness is not weakness. Sometimes we like to assume that they're similar since they sound the same, but they're usually the exact opposite. What is meekness? It's power and passion under control. Knowing what you have and knowing how to use it to benefit you successfully. We see a meek man knows how he stands before God and how he needs to alter his life or continue what he's doing in order to be pleasing unto God. Think about the life of Moses with me for just a minute. Of course, born just a normal birth and winds up living the first 40 years of his life, the life of royalty. Really, he couldn't have asked for a better life growing up in the palace, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then, of course, he eventually flees. And then he comes back at age 80 and God says, Moses, you're going to lead my people. You ever wondered what Moses was thinking while he was leading God's people? Psalm 90 helps us answer that. This is kind of a second look at some of the thoughts of Moses. It's not all of them. In fact, it would be about near impossible to chronicle all of them, but Psalm 90 does put some of them there. Think about Moses when he withstood Pharaoh. Think about Moses when his friends and his brother and his sister complained and murmured against him. And the courage that he had to keep remaining faithful. Can you imagine what it was like when God says all these people age 20 and above are going to die? Approximately 80% of God's children were going to die in the wilderness and just watching friends years left and right pass away, knowing that eventually you're not going to make it either because of the things that you have done, yet He still led God's people. Tonight I want us to look at Psalm 90. There are three themes within this psalm that is a prayer, as the Bible says, of Moses, the man of God. So our first theme tonight is the eternity of God. Verses 1, 2, and 4. The eternity of God. Once again, verse 1, Thou, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, or from generation to generation. Have you ever stopped to think of God as being our dwelling place? Normally we just focus on God as being the one in heaven that we serve, the one that created everything. But He truly is our dwelling place. He's omnipresent because He is everywhere. Everywhere we are, that's where God is. We cannot run, we cannot hide from God. In Psalm 139, verses 8 through 10, the psalmist says, If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead thee, and my right hand shall hold me. It says, if I go up, if I go down, if I go left, if I go right, forward, backward, it doesn't matter. God is there. God is our dwelling place. Philippians 4 and 5, the Bible says that the Lord is at hand. He's ever near. Jonah learned the hard way, you can't run from God. We should learn that lesson as well. In verse 2, we see that before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Also verse 4, while we're thinking about it, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. He talks about all generations. Maybe he's thinking of Joseph. Maybe he's thinking of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe he's going back farther, and he's thinking of Noah. And he's thinking of Enoch, and he's thinking of Adam. We don't know what generations he's thinking of, but he's thinking of some generations here. And one of the most priceless possessions that you can give somebody is a godly heritage, or a family that for years and generations and generations and generations has been faithful to God. As a general rule, God's children have done that, although there are times where they weren't and they would rebel back to him. Of course, now we can't all be of the same, physically, the same family, but spiritually we can be. When we're baptized, we obey the gospel, we are part of God's family. We can look back and find strength in the stories of those that have gone before us, how they came through difficult situations and learned from that. What's a good example? That's why we have children's stories or vacation Bible schools or the Old Testaments. They're filled with great stories of great people from our past. They went through difficult situations and came out on the good. It talks about in verse 2 that before the mountains, before the earth, before the world, Moses basically stood and looked at the strength of the mountain. And you think that the mountain is so permanent and that a mountain is so old, but then you look like a short mountain and there was a time when there wasn't a short mountain. But God was there before there was a short mountain. God was there before there was a Mount Everest. God was there. Mountains sit on the earth, they came forth from the earth, but there was a time when God was there and they weren't. And he says, from everlasting to everlasting, God was there. I'm not going to lie. I have the hardest time grasping eternity. I'll be the first person to tell you that. I don't have to grasp it all to know that it never ends. I don't understand how it never ends because I'm used to things on time. I wear a watch so I know what time it is. But God doesn't deal that way. God works on his time. God was there at the beginning. Mind-boggling. From everlasting to everlasting. Time means nothing to God as it does for us. When he says 1,000 years, it's like it was yesterday. You go back 1,000 years, what happened? I don't know, we can go find a history book and read it. In God's eyes, it's like it just happened yesterday. A lot of things. God is different. I've often heard it said 2,000 years ago seems as little as this Sunday afternoon compared to God. God is eternal. And that is our first theme here in this psalm. Our second theme is the frailty of man. We see that in verse 3 and verse number 5 through verse 11. So let's start with verse 3. Thou returnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. Now verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and it withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our second theme is the frailty of man, or how frail life truly is. In verse 3, it talks about its turn to destruction, or return to destruction. Talks about going to dust and death. We know, of course, the wages of sin is death. But that return is a wanting to repent, is wanting to get back in the right relationship with God. We studied this morning in our Bible class, Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, where the wise man says, "The dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." We're going to go back, and we're not going to live on this earth forever. He talks about, verse 5, carried away as a flood. Well, first off, makes me think that he is remembering back to Noah, because that's what I always think of in a flood. But have you ever seen, and hopefully it hasn't happened to you, maybe you've been watching the news in an area where a flood or a riverbank has overflowed, and how a flood just carries things away? And people's cars and trampolines and personal possessions, they just wind up miles down the road. Here, that's what he's talking about with the wicked. They'll carry them away as like it's a flood. They just go on. He also talks about asleep. You ever noticed how it can seems like you can lose time in sleep? Maybe you're so tired, you stretch out, go to bed at night, and you wake up and like you've been asleep about 5 minutes, and it's been about 6 or 8 hours. It's a weird feeling, but that's how life is here. We see, he says, that they are just like asleep. It's just like a moment to God. God's not concerned with our time. We see, he also says, it's like a grass. If you can continue on just a little bit down in that passage. In verse 5, he says, it's like grass. Makes me think of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, where Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about not to worry. And he talks about grass. He says, which is today and tomorrow's cast in the oven. It's just a fleeting, momentary thing. If you continue on in verse number 6, in the morning it flourisheth, and it grows up, evening cut down. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we're troubled. Well, not only a brief life, but oftentimes it's a sin-filled life. We're not perfect. We wish we were. But in our short lives, we have fallen short of the glory that God originally created us to be. But thankfully, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to remove those sins so we can be pleasing unto Him again. He talks about how it's like a tale that's been told there in verse number 9. You know, you can sit around and hear people tell stories of days gone by, and they're so fun to listen to. And then somebody comes along and says, well, here's another story of things that have happened. But those are memories. Can't go back and relive them, but you can remember the stories. And then he says in verse number 10, that the days of our years, or he counts how long we get, 70, maybe 80, that's what he says here, still approximates the expected lifespan. That's just how it happens. People say, yeah, but why in Genesis did they live to be 900 and something? It's God's plan back then. That's not God's plan now. I'm not going to argue with him because I'm ready to go see Jesus. And so why wait forever? I'm ready for him to come back. If you notice in verses 11 and 12, though, it says, teach us to number our days. He doesn't mean physically tell how many days you've been. You can go online and compute that. What he says is realize how brief a time you have and the opportunities that are presented to you. We don't have forever. Moses paints the frailty of man. Finally, number 3 this evening, though, he talks about the return of hope, and that's verses 13 to the end of the chapter. He says, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us with thy mercy, and that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. What's happening with Moses? He's looking around and he is literally surrounded by death left and right. People are dying in the wilderness. On that way to the promised land, they were still pressing onward. They did not let that stop them. They kept going. They had that hope that would not be fulfilled in them, but in their children. They realized that we're not all going to make it, but for our people's sake, we have to keep pressing on. It makes me think of Hebrews chapter 10. If you'll flip there with me as we start to close out our psalm, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Lengthy passage here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 11. correction, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's talking about Abraham. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who he had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and in the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. It says that these all have died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yes, it's talking about Abraham, but it also could describe Moses, how he's looking, he's longing to get there. Moses died in faith, not receiving the promise. But we have that promise of hope if we're faithful to the end. And that's what Moses is getting at here in Psalm 90, is that man is frail. Time is of the essence, but we have hope. We have that blessed hope that we can have that home with him in eternity. There's a song we often sing, I am bound for the promised land. That's our goal, that home in heaven. Is that your goal tonight? If not, why are you here? If heaven is not your goal, what are you doing? Make heaven your goal and make sure you're getting there. If you have a road map and you want to get from here to wherever you're going, you have to follow those directions. Moses had to follow the directions to eventually get the people to the promised land. We have to follow God's instructions. We have to hear, believe, repent, and confess, be baptized. Have our sins washed away, become out of that watery grave a new creature. Why not do that tonight? Most of us fall into the second category of remaining faithful unto death. And that's part of getting there. We have to remain on that road and being faithful. If you're not doing that, why not do that tonight? Come back with your sins and leave in a right relationship with God. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.